How's it going? Right. What's up today?
You go to a stadium where you've never coached or had a team play in the game. What are some of the first things when you get there that just that you want to see just to familiarize yourself with the venue?
Yeah, really, Mike. I think it's the same every week, whether you've been there or not. Of course, if you haven't been there, there's a newness to it. But even if you have been there, at most, you're probably playing in that stadium once a year. So just refamiliarizing yourself with the conditions, the sun, the lights, the scoreboard, the 40-second clock. I would say in most of these stadiums, the way they're built, there's a difference in the wind between in the end zone where it's more protected and out at midfield. And usually the flags are pretty much no indicator of anything. Other than it's the opposite of whatever they are. The turf, the footing, the consistency of that, if the cleats are an issue. If it's turf field, obviously it's not the case, but if it's not, then, what are the conditions? Cleveland's surface versus, let's just say, Arizona's surface. I mean, they couldn't be more different. So each game's different. So even if you've been in the stadium before, whatever, if it's a day game, it's a night game, if it's whatever the wind is, whatever the sun is, it's different for that day. So I think, fundamentally, you just always want to go through that process and reacclimate yourself to the specific conditions for that particular game.
Something you can do a few hours before the game. We see, sometimes the cameras will catch you and some
Yeah.
of the other coaches just walking around the field before the game. Are those the kinds of things you're talking about in those situations?
Sure. You can get a feel for that then. And then I'd say in pregame warmups, talking with the, again, depending on the conditions, but, I always talk, about the kicking game because the wind will affect the kicking game more than it affects the passing game. But then, how does that affect our overall field goal range, four down situation, directional kicking, so forth? Not because, walking around is one thing, but actually going out there and kicking the ball or throwing the ball, is a little bit different, and so you have a better gauge on it after pregame warmups. So we kick first, so that's the first part of pregame warmups, and then we, do the rest of it. Maybe if the field's slick, then in terms of cutting and running certain routes, or maybe it's a certain area of the field, like we're going to be careful on running comebacks on the sideline. We don't want to fall down and, throw a pick six or something like that. So, it's just things like that.
Maybe getting really far afield here, but will you take a look at the grain of the turf and which direction? I've heard a coach in the past say something to me about he's been to stadiums and you can actually tell the way the turf has been. This was back when they used to roll out turf, but you can look at that and see maybe
Yeah,
which
I'd say through
direction.
the years, there's, I mean, things have changed a lot through the years, but yeah, there's some fields that definitely have a slickness to them, if you will, and that could be the way it's, the way it's cut or whatever, rolled or whatever they do. Some fields have a softness to them. We're not dealing with this anymore, but even not that recently, not that far long ago, was the whole infield situation in Miami, whether it's sodded or infield or whatever. But that was, definitely a factor. Like in those games, we always tried to, in the fourth quarter, be kicking on the non-infield end, regardless of what the wind was, as an example. So again, that's something we got to deal with. But the seams and so forth, those old fields like Veterans Stadium or baseball fields where they would, take out the pitcher's mound and put in a, square of turf that they would inlay in there, where there's some bad seam areas in various spots. I mean, definitely the players, were aware of that. I mean, they're not looking at it, they're playing, but they're, there's awareness of it. The end zone, a lot of times the sidelines, when you have multi-purpose field, there are multiple markings out there, and we had that in when I was in Denver, in Old Mile High Stadium. Where the Denver Bears played, the first base line ran not quite parallel to the sideline, And so it was lighter, but you could still kind of see it, and the way it was cut, it was clearly there. But the sideline was a little bit further. And, you know, I remember we had, you know, a couple plays out there, one in particular where a runner thought he was out of bounds, and he was still in bounds, and, you know, got hit. And it was a yard sale. I mean, it was, you know, helmet, ear pads, chin strap. I mean, it was so. You know, each stadium has their own. Little idiosyncrasies, uniqueness.
Well, obviously getting rest, is, especially at this time of year, is very important to the coaching staff, getting the players rested and whatnot. But when you're traveling...
It's important to the coaches, too.
But going coast to coast, just getting curious to get your thought on traveling Friday, giving yourself an extra day, what kind of benefit that gives you as a team?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, different ways to do it. In the end, I think the most important thing is to be prepared and play well. I think that overrides all the other things.
I mean, what you've done different things in the past.
Yeah, it's based on the schedule. I mean, it's based on where you're playing, when you're playing, what the other circumstances are. Sometimes there are the options are maybe not endless based on the. Whether it be the hotel or the airplane, getting a bigger plane for a longer trip, maybe those aren't available 24/7. I mean, there are other factors that go into it. Again, each trip has kind of its own characteristics. So I don't feel that there's just like one way to do things, that we got to do it this way if we're traveling here or traveling there. As much as we can, we try to stay in a routine. So,
do you do that months in advance, or a week, or can you, you know, weeks in advance?
You try to change your travel plans in a week. Trying, you know, ship 200, whatever it is, 200 people out to wherever you are, players, coaches, staff, marketing, equipment, everything else, with the FAA regulations and so forth. I mean, you just can't throw whatever you want on an airplane now, I'm telling you. You got weight requirements, you have packing requirements, things like that. There are things that we did years ago, even as little as a couple of years ago, that we can't do anymore. So a lot of times we truck our equipment to the away sites. That's definitely not the plan this week, but again, there are issues with smaller planes and weight and cargo and baggage, individual player. I mean, look, we're moving a lot of people here, and that's not something I think you can do. Now, look, every once in a while something comes up, like when we played Pittsburgh in AFC Championship game, and we had the snowstorm, we left a day early and went up there. You see what your options are, make the best of them. Sometimes there's availability, and sometimes there isn't, and then you figure out what the next best thing to do is. But no, it's certainly, we're not in an environment where we can, whatever we're going to do, okay, let's do that. There's a number of hoops to jump through.
I've heard some players and maybe even yourself say something along the lines of availability can be almost as important as ability, or something along those lines. And
dependability is more important than ability.
Dependability.
Yeah.
I put my own spin on it there.
I agree with that.
I wanted to ask you just what you've noticed from Tom Brady along those lines, just relative to like all your years in the league. Watch him take that hit from Cam Chancellor, you know, and then he like expresses this confidence shortly thereafter, like I'll be there, you know, like don't worry, you know, I'll do what I have to do, and he's obviously committed to that part of it. And I'm just curious.
Absolutely.
What from him.
Very impressive. There's a lot of great qualities that Tom has. That's right at the top of the list. And it's not only his, certainly it's important for him to be physically healthy, but it's very important for the team on a weekly basis to be able to go out there and practice and get the timing with the quarterback who's going to play in the game, with the other people, the linemen and receivers and so forth. They're going to play with him. So if you're missing one receiver, then maybe you get the timing with the other 10 players, let's call it. If you're missing the quarterback, then, you know, you can still get it. I mean, and certainly we have a good quarterback in Jimmy, and Jimmy can go out there and run everything that Tom can run. We've seen that. So I'm not saying that he's not capable or qualified to do it. He is, and he does a great job of it. And when we put Jimmy in there, it's really seamless. You can't, unless you were actually looking at the position, if you just could block out that position and say which guy was in their quarterback, I don't know if you would know a lot of times. But for the quarterback to have that kind of consistency with the snap count, the cadence, the way that his voice or mannerisms or reminders are in the huddle, and little things like that, his the whole timing and everything on the line of scrimmage and running the plays in practice, like that is a huge carryover to the game. So, again, Tom's consistency to do that, again, not only for himself, but for the rest of the team and the ability for the rest of the team to be able to have been able to count on that is very important.
And he's 39, and maybe Marino and Favre, like players like that, if I remember, have talked about like, hey, when I get to that later stages in my career, I love the games, but it was all the work that went into getting to the games that was hard, you know, for them. I think they said that, but so I'm just curious along those lines, is that also, do you make this player, Tom, I mean, different or rare, or is that something that stands out to you?
Yeah, it definitely stands out. Yeah, Tom works very hard on his physical conditioning, recovery, rest, and so forth. So it's really 24/7, you know, 365 days a year. From what every day he's here, I don't know if it's 365 days a year, but every day I see him here, he's doing those things. He's not just in here to put in time. He's in here to work on his training, work on his conditioning, work on his recovery, get treatment, get do whatever he can do to physically maintain or improve where he's at. So, absolutely, it's a daily, multiple times a day, but it's a daily thing for Tom. Mm-hmm.
Bill, looking for the identity of this team now at this point in the season, do you think this team needs more of a swagger, more of an edge than it has right now?
Yeah, I don't really know what that means, so I can't answer the question. I'm just trying to win games. I'm not trying to, you know, create. I don't know what the identity is. The identity I'd like to have is a team that wins a lot of games. Okay, so, which, you know, we've had some of that around here. So I'll take that rather than being known as a, like, this kind of team or that kind of team. I think if you're a smart, tough football team that wins games, that's what you want to be. So. The rest of it, I don't really know what that means.
Bill, we haven't seen Cyrus Jones on defense for a while now. What have you noticed of his development as a cornerback?
Cyrus has worked hard. Yeah, he's worked hard. He's had, as you know, when you're working with the scout team, a lot of times that's a better opportunity to develop as a player than working not on the scout team because you're working against our best players doing the best things that they do. So you're not, you know, you're seeing our top players trying to run our offense, and you're out there on the scout team trying to cover it or defend it, as the case might be. So that's a great opportunity to improve for practice squad players, for scout team players, and that balances with the players who are playing, trying to execute the plays that they're going to have to execute on Sunday to win. I would put him in the same category as a lot of other players in that, as they work very hard on the practice field to improve their individual skill and their craft. And that's a good, great time to do it, great place to do it, is to work against our other best players at the complementary positions. So he's done that.
Do you recall anyone specifically throughout the years that's really improved through those scout team reps that you've seen improve through those?
All of them. I mean, Edelman. Brady, Wendell, Steve Neal didn't even play football. I mean, you know, they don't just, you know, grow on trees, and there's a process. I mean, all the guys, Dan Connolly, I mean, we have many offensive linemen that weren't even on the team for 2-3 years, and then Wendell. when I think he was on the team for about 3 years, and he ended up starting games for us. Steve Neal, I mean, couldn't even find the field, but was a good football player, but it was a process. You know, Julian was another guy. He played three positions that he never played in college and hasn't played the position that he did play in college. So, I mean, go on and on. That'd be a long, long list.
Is there a balance between, from your experience, between players expecting a lot from themselves but also not beating themselves up if things don't go the way they expect them to go? Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the sweet spot that every player wants to be in. You expect a lot. Expect a high level of performance. It's a very competitive league. It's hardness league. You just don't go out there and, you know, win 53-0 every week. I mean, it's just not – it's impossible. Other teams are too good. So, you know, we all go out there. We all make mistakes. We all have plays that we wish we could have over again or do better on, or calls, or whatever the case might be. And you kind of regain your balance after those and do it again and try to do a little bit better the next time. You don't lose your confidence, but the next time you go out there and you have another high expectation, high level of commitment to perform the very best of your ability, and inevitably you always come up a little bit short. Nobody plays a perfect game. And then you live with those, whatever the level of disappointment is, whether it's 1% or maybe it's 50%, whatever it is. And then you don't lose your confidence. You go back and correct the mistakes and turn the page and move forward. I think that's where you want to be, yeah. But, I mean, sometimes it's hard, too. When you're disappointed and you put a lot into it, then those games that you lose, or if you put a lot into a particular situation and it doesn't work out well, there's obviously a high level of disappointment, which there should be. If you put a lot into something and it doesn't come out, work out well, you're not just going to walk away and say, well, I don't care. When you say you don't care, it's when you didn't put anything into it, because you really don't care. So whatever happens, you just live with it. But, yeah, the ones you put a lot into and they don't work out, it's harder to get over those. But that's what we all have to do.
How important do you feel the quick releases to your offense? Do you think it's something that's been talked about more over the years because of the advanced metric websites, or has it always been there?
The what now?
The quick release, quarterback quick release.
What metric are you talking about?
Advanced, like the advanced websites thing.
What the hell is that? I mean, you could take those advanced websites and metric them in the, wherever you want. I don't know. I have no idea. I've never looked at one. I wouldn't even care to look at one. I don't even care what they say. As far as the quarterback goes, read the coverage, throw the ball to the open receiver, take the best matchup. I mean, that's what it is in a nutshell. So if the quicker we're open, the better the clearer the picture, the sooner the ball's going to come out. We don't have anybody open. Who's the quarterback going to throw it to? So it's timing, decision-making, execution by the entire offensive team. That's what the passing game is. Receiver's got to get open and catch the ball. Quarterback's got to read the coverage, make the right decision, make an accurate throw. And all the metric pages and all that, I mean, I have no idea. It's something you need to ask that to a smarter coach than me. Sorry.
When you're talking about availability, back to Mike's point, mm-hmm. Player availability, and you're making a long trip like you are this week, does that affect the timetable of evaluating whether or not a player is going to be ready to go and make the trip, or does it have nothing to do with it?
No, I think it has a lot. It could have a lot to do with it. It would depend on what the player's individual situation was. It's certainly a lot different than being at home where you could literally wait till an hour and a half before the game and make your decision on the player, and I don't think there's a lot of downside. We've certainly had discussions in the past of, you know, a player has whatever his particular condition is. We think it's probably less than 50-50 that he would be able to play. Again, if we were playing at home, it would be a little bit of a different situation. If we feel like it's probably is a long shot, if you will, then do we really want to, put them on the plane for 5 hours? And, do we really think that after all that, that the swelling's going to go down, or that the whatever's going to loosen up, or, whatever the case, whatever the nature of the condition is really going to improve? Is that the best thing to do or the right thing to do? And could it set us back, and now we come back after the game? Let's say the player whether does or doesn't play, and then here we are on Monday, and we're further behind than we were on Friday. So, I think that's a legitimate conversation. Again, it would depend on the individual player's situation, and I think it would have a little more effect on a trip like a West Coast trip than if we were going to, Buffalo, let's say. But it might affect that too. In a lot of cases, as in preseason, a lot of players that don't travel, they get a lot of work in here. We usually play night games, so we're gone for, a solid 2 days, and then we come back after the game, and it's 3-4 in the morning or whatever, and so then you're already kind of losing part of the next day. So if a player is recovering or is in a condition that, needs constant maintenance, how productive really is that, right? Be a lot better off just leaving the player here, letting him get a good day on Thursday, a good day on Friday when we play, be ready to have a good day on Saturday rather than travel, do whatever on the road, come back, be tired, be in the air for X number of hours. So, preseason is a good example of what we're talking about.
Is Gronkowski expected to travel with the team today?
Is that the last question, please? All right. Thank you.